Is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. We're playing around with a little technical stuff today, but joining us, we have Wanda Alger. Wanda's been in the ministry for over 35 years as a worship leader, teacher, author, ordained minister, and speaker. So, Tom, it's all yours.
Well, how am I going to top that? Wanda, welcome to the Tom Dupree Show today.
Awesome. Good to be here.
Glad you're here. And we're kind of a homegrown outfit around here. We're not a big studio. We're doing this out of our conference room at our office.
From our Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington,
right.
Kentucky.
We have a Rodecaster Pro board here and a couple of barred microphones. And no, I'm just kidding. But we like to talk to people who are honest and truthful. And I have listened to your posts and videos that I saw on YouTube and talking about various things. And I believe you to be a person like that. But before we get into any content about recent events or things of that nature, I'd like to talk a little bit about your background and just give us some history about how you got where you are in the ministry.
I've grown up in the church. My dad was a PK, and actually, I kind of joked with the Lord. I didn't want to marry a preacher because of that. And when I married Bobby, he was actually in sales. And then a year later, he got the call to ministry. So go figure. I grew up in the church. I'm actually a musician. I've been in worship for years. And that really was my primary role in the church, was as a worship leader. But we planted a church here in Winchester, Virginia, over 20 years ago. And my husband's the pastor. And the Lord's just really, you know, was growing my gifts. And I always was hungry for things of the Spirit. And especially in the prophetic, I began to grow in that, you know, obviously being busy with the ministry and such. I never thought I'd be a writer. That was never on my bucket list. But the Lord just began to visit me. I actually had an angelic visitation in 2002 that kind of launched a whole journey of dreaming, where the Lord began to speak to me in night parables and began to teach me really how to hear his voice and how to know his heart for the church specifically, as well as for the nation, which I didn't understand at that time because I was just a mom raising my kids, you know, married to a pastor at home. And fast forward, my husband and I then got connected with Intercessors for America, which is a national prayer ministry started by Earn Baxter and Derek Prince. Everyone might be familiar with Derek Prince. And they actually started that ministry the year that Roe versus Wade happened. And they felt a call to call the nation to prayer. And so I had been familiar with it somewhat, but my husband and I got connected with them over 10 years ago. And eventually I came on staff and became a writer, wore several hats. And so that really did put me on a national platform in the intercessory prayer ministry. I've never called myself an intercessor. I just always thought everybody prayed like I did. It's just my relationship with the Lord. You know, we're all called to prayer. But all that kind of set the table for what I'm really doing now, which the Lord just has me in a season of writing and speaking and sharing just his heart for the church in this nation. I've never aimed to be political. But my burden, as well as my husband, is for godly leadership in the church, because I believe even right now what we're dealing with in the nation, it's a reflection of the church. We've lacked healthy leadership even in the church, because we should be leading the way. We should be demonstrating to the world, you know, what healthy leadership looks like and what government can even look like. And so that's what has spawned some of the books that I've written, you know, recently, the one that I released last year. Moving from sword to scepter, ruling through prayer as the ecclesia of God. So that's what kind of put me in this. And I have a blog, I have a YouTube channel I just started this week. So hopefully that gives you kind of a snapshot of where I'm coming from.
Let's talk about the church for a minute. I grew up as an Episcopalian, which, you know, had a certain form of church government with bishops and priests and, you know, similar. The Catholic Church is an Episcopal church, and because it has bishops. And so is the Methodist Church. Now, my bet is that did you grow up as a Lutheran, did you tell me, or?
No, actually, my husband and I are from Mennonite background.
A Mennonite. That's right.
Yeah.
So they have their own form of church structure. Mm-hmm. And I just was wondering if you had any insight into how God uses these things, or if that's ever been a thing you've even thought about much.
Oh, it's in my book. I devote entire chapters to it.
Okay.
Because this is huge for the church. Actually, one of my favorite courses, because Bobby and I both went to Oral Roberts University to get our master's.
Right.
So we went to seminary. My favorite course was church history, and we studied, you know, the denominations and how they were birthed. And, you know, and I personally believe that, denominations each have a certain revelation of the Lord that actually can be a gift, but, you know, we've gone too far and we build all these walls. But we have come up with all these man-made governments. And bottom line, we're part of a network of churches with Dove International, which comes out of Lititz, Pennsylvania. And they go back to the book of Acts and in the New Testament church, which, you know, really does give a form of government that's led by elders in the local church with apostles and prophets, fivefold ministry coming alongside. And we've totally lost that in the body of Christ in recent years, a lot because of the misunderstanding of even apostles and prophets. And of course, there's some of the denominations that don't even believe those exist anymore. So there's some real theological hurdles there that we've had to work through even in our own background. You know, how should it look? Because God does have government was God's idea, not man's.
Right.
And it's not anything that we should shy away from, because we need order. That's what government does. It brings order and accountability and authority. And that's really where the issue is that we grapple with, is spiritual authority. And we could go down a rabbit trail with that, but this is, you know, what we're seeing in the nation is rebellion against authority.
Yeah. And, I think that's kind of what I was getting at. Cause one of the things that Derek Prince said once was that he had kind of done a study of the prevailing spirits in different nations, and that America, it was rebellion. And of course, being the proper Englishman that he was, he traced that back to the American Revolution. You know, John Wesley said that the American Revolution was the work of anarchists and rebellious people, and no true Christian could ever join in it. And and yet out of that came the United States of America. You know, but I know that Derek Prince said that that was a ruling spirit. And, you know, I guess my question would be, do you believe that the church in general, because I do believe, like you believe, that the problems that we're seeing, it's a church problem. It's because the church has not done what it's supposed to do, that even the church itself operates in some ways under a spirit of rebellion.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I actually put a video out about this last year, that the enemy wants us to think we're in a power struggle right now, that it too has the most power. But that's not true, because right from the get-go, the enemy doesn't even have any power. It's really who has legitimate authority.
Right.
And our understanding of authority is really skewed in the church. Obviously, the historical precedent, like you've already stated, but I think even on a practical level, so many Christians, you know, all it takes is to be hurt by a pastor of a church.
Right.
Or to be betrayed by a Christian friend, and that is a seedbed for a spirit of offense, and then rebellion of anybody who then comes into that position in your life of being an authority figure. I mean, it goes. I had to go through deliverance myself because my dad was controlling. I mean, he had a religious spirit. He was a preacher. He loved God, but he had a lot of demons in his life, and so I had to personally walk through that. That's why I believe so strongly about it, because it was huge for me in my life. When I got free of that and really learned to embrace God's idea of healthy authority, my prayer life totally changed. Because when we have healthy spiritual authority in our life, when we embrace authority, that gives us authority in the spirit. And that's what the church at large, we've lost. We've tried to, you know, pretend that we have it, but as long as we've got any offense, bitterness, and we don't want to listen to other people, we don't have any authority in the spirit, and we can't change anything. I think it's a huge issue that the Lord is dealing with and is going to continue to deal with.
So if we're in this kind of messed up state, and it seems like, you know, some of the prophecies that I have heard from people like Mario Murillo, whom I think you listen to also, you know, he has said that they've seen big empty churches, because it seems like churches, and I served on more than one vestry in the Episcopal Church, and it says that the responsibility of the vestry is to provide or to care for the spiritual needs of the parish, but the truth is, it's all about money and property. And, you know, I know that AA meetings, which I'm familiar with, I'm not a member of AA, but I have a lot of friends are, they don't own any property. You know, they always rent their space. And I've often thought that it might be good if the church had a little more of that model, because when you get a lot of property, you know, now you have the cares of this world. Not saying that they shouldn't own property, but it can be an impediment to spiritual growth.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you're getting at the issue of leadership. You know, in the church, the Lord wants to bring us back to really knowing, do we have a call on our lives, and are we willing to serve? I mean, we've got to be servant leaders, and there's still too many within the church. It's a career path. It's a way to build a platform or a ministry. You know, thankfully, the Lord is clearing the way of that, you know, and this is some of the exposure that we're seeing even in the larger body of Christ, is because some of these motives are coming out. because he's going to put his favor on those that really want to serve the people because they are called of God. That's what a leader should be. We're here.
Right.
We're supposed to serve. We're supposed to lead the way, demonstrate what Christ has in mind. And I really believe that he's going to remove more and more grace from those leaders that don't have that heart, because it's already happening. But we've got to embrace the joy of the call to equip the people around us, you know, and get away from the platform ministry. It's a body ministry.
Yeah.
We need authority. We need leadership. But the leaders need to empower the people that we're all in this together.
You know, we've been dealing a lot with politics. And my sense of reading about how the founding fathers and earlier people in the country looked at political involvement was similar to church involvement. They didn't regard it as something that they would do to enrich themselves, to draw a salary from it, but it was more service, you know, in the same way you might be a servant towards your local body. And it, you know, I think there's a good analogy between politics, that is, or government, and church government. And that, you know, in the same way that people have perhaps, you know, not been, well, let's say the average person in a church has ceded too much power to the clergy, if you will, the average citizen has ceded too much power to their congressmen and senators. And you know, it just seems that these institutions that God wants to be more organic and clean, if you will, have been taken over by professionals.
Yeah. Well, again, I devote a whole chapter to this in my book, looking at the difference between what church government is supposed to look like and what civil government is. And this came out very much in the last 4 years with our president and all the questions and concerns that many believers had about him, because we imposed upon him qualifications that aren't even biblical, because he is not, as a president or governor or anyone in a civil authority position, they don't have the same job qualifications as a pastor or an elder or a deacon. And I detail this because the two passages, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, they are there to, sent by him, it says in 1 Peter, to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. There's a specific assignment that our civil leaders have. And interestingly enough, if you study these passages, there's not even anything mentioned about their personality, even their moral character, or their methods. It's just very clear of why they are set in place by God to keep order, because that field is totally different. A pastor is responsible for a flock. You all have the same value system. You know, you should be on the same page. When you're governing a nation or a land or a state, you've got non-believers, you've got a whole different mix. It requires a different kind of leader. And this, again, is something that the church, we've not talked about, of the difference. And this is what so many believers get hung up on, is we expect things to look like in the government. You know, we don't understand what their role is, what their purpose is, and what our purpose is. We can't expect government to do things the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to be the ones to feed the hungry, to help the widow and the poor. That's our job.
Right.
And so these are some things that I don't think we've demonstrated well enough, but we haven't taught them well enough either, to be able to separate out what God's original purpose is, you know, for both of these and for healthy government.
Well, it would, but now if a person has made government into a religion, if you will, which many have, they're going to be looking at their president as if he were their pastor, because they have put a false requirement in there for what they're looking for, and they have a box that they've got him in, and that's how they're going to look at him.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, people have been critical, you know, of Trump worship and all that kind of thing. You know, I can't speak for anybody else. I just know for me, I want to look at a leader and I want to recognize, is God's hand on them or not? You know, what is God's call on them? And that's what I want to partner with. And so that's our responsibility as believers. We need to honor those that God is using in any particular field and to partner with that specific assignment. There's so many different kinds of leaders. Again, this is a leadership issue of recognizing, what is this person gifted with? What are they anointed for? I mean, even looking at, you know, the difference between the president and vice president, you know, the personalities and their gift mix, totally different. Their assignments are going to be different. So I think we need to give a little more grace, you know, and learning to discern, okay, God, what have you given that leader to do? And how can I partner with that to support them? Because ultimately, we have to look to the Lord, you know, for our needs to be met.
All right, that brings us to the end of our first segment with Wanda. Don't forget to check our website. I'm going to be posting her books so that if you'd like to read more of what she's written or learn more about Wanda, you can find it at DupreeFinancial.com. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
This is what's happening.
Calling on the vice president.
To remove this president from office.
Check in all weekend.
By immediately invoking.
The 25th Amendment.
My focus turns to ensuring a smooth.
This.
Transition of power.
Is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying. That's why Super Beta Prostate is the number one prostate supplement recommended by urologists. You can try a full 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-483-8084. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-483-8084. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-483-8084. 1-800-483-8084.
It's your man Buffalo Steel from the world-famous Nappy Roots, and I got a message for you.
Never underestimate you. Never underestimate you.
The Work Ready Kentucky Scholarship provides free tuition for Kentuckians who want to earn a degree in a high-demand career field. Go to workreadyky.com to learn more or give them a call at 833-711-WRKS.
Available at Jefferson Community and Technical College.
Never underestimate you.
looking at a cold day set up for this Saturday with pretty dull conditions. Cloudy skies remaining and maybe a few peaks of sunshine, but overall, those northerly winds keeping those temperatures right around the mid to lower 30s. I'm WKYT meteorologist Adam Berniston.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Research Raccoon is the easy and affordable way to get smarter about your customers. Whether you need a new name for your business or launching a new product or don't even know what questions to ask, Research Raccoon can poll U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data to help you decide. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more. Research Raccoon. Fast results with big data.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show. We've got Tom with Wanda Alger. I keep thinking I'm saying that wrong. Wanda, am I getting your last name right?
Yes, you are.
All right, perfect. We're powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington, Kentucky. And Wanda is joining us from Winchester, Virginia. Can't wait to hear what you've got to say now. I learned a lot the first segment.
Okay, Wanda, let's talk about the elephant in the room. You and I, we were supporters and are supporters of President Trump. And I'm not afraid to say it, I love the man. I don't support what happened at the Capitol. I don't believe he incited it, although he's being blamed for it. I think he's been blamed for a lot of things.
He's flawed. He's a human being.
Well, that doesn't mean he made that happen, though.
No, but he is a flawed. He's a human being.
He is a flawed human being. But I think he's been a transformative figure, and I think he has touched so many strongholds of really evil in our nation, It's like hitting a lot of hornet's nests. It's gotten people all in a tizzy, and they've done some things that I don't think they should have done. But you know, you want to talk a little bit about his presidency and some of the things that we've seen happen?
Sure. Well, I can tell you, back when he was in the running for the 2016 election, I really had to go to the Lord. You know, like everybody else, like, who is this guy? But for me personally, one of the gifts that God has seemed to grace me with is really discerning of spirits, and really by the Spirit just knowing whether or not a person's heart is really for the Lord, whether or not they're just selfish, ambitious, whatever, or whether or not they're really leaning towards, you know, bad stuff. And in all my research and what I sensed by the Spirit is that, okay, here's a guy, he's got a sorted past. I mean, man, he's a rough guy, but I just really felt like I think he honors God. I don't know if he knows him much, but he's really got a good heart, and I have a feeling God's going to use him. And if you look at it from the spiritual standpoint, being an intercessor for so many years, understanding the spiritual battle that we're up against, I just, as I went to the Lord in prayer, I really felt like the Lord had his hand on this very rough guy that was going to be able to take a stand where someone that may be more pastoral would never be able to stand.
That's interesting. And it's interesting you're using a church term there for a government leader. It's just because I think that's what a lot of people look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The word, one of the words that the Lord gave me over him that actually Charisma magazine posted, it's been viewed and shared thousands of times, is he actually called Donald Trump. He indicated that Donald Trump has a heart like David, and that God set him in place like a David. And he said, he's a man of war, like I am a man of war. And that troubles some people. What I understood the Lord to say is not that Donald Trump is coming to war with man or make war, but that he has God's anointing on him to war against the enemies of God in the spirit realm. And that's what he's been doing. And, you know, the advancements that he's made is significant. And when people bring up, you know, issues about his rough speech and his, you know, his mannerisms and everything, you know, bottom line is I go by his present testimony, which he has unashamedly declared the gospel of Jesus from the Rose Garden, from the Oval Office, given this nation to God. I know personally, firsthand, the pastoral council that is consistently around him and the actions that he has taken on behalf of conservative Christians. That's what I look at. And what he has started, you know, where I'm at, bottom line is God's not done with him yet. I'm still believing for a miracle turnaround. I don't know how, when, or what that would look like, but I believe in a God that does miracles yet today. So even though it's, you know, kind of disheartening where we're at, I'm standing in faith, you know, ultimately to God, because he sees where we're at as a nation and really our desperation.
You know, I've been in the investment business for 42 years. And in 1987, I was actually working in Houston in an investment firm. And we had the crash October 19th of 1987. That was Black Monday, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped by 22% in one day. And, you know, what's interesting is that the day after that, did you hear anything from the big banks or the big brokerage firms or anybody like that? Crickets. Nothing. But guess who came out, and he was in his 40s at the time, and said, I believe in America, and I'm going to be buying stocks today. Donald Trump. And that was when, I don't know if you remember, he had his own airline back then, Trump Airlines, and he was trying to he's trying to buy American Airlines, which is kind of, and Donald Trump never had a problem with debt. he would borrow the full amount of a purchase if he had to, but he was into casinos and stuff like that. But the thing about it was that he said, I believe all these big institutions, government officials, the ones that are supposed to be sort of financial pastors, if you will, to their customers. Mom, you know, you're on your own. Sorry about it, but market dropped. Trump, however, is coming out as though he were J.P. Morgan or somebody, which he wasn't, and says, I believe and I'm buying in here. Now, that was when he really made an impression on me. You know, I didn't read in its entirety The Art of the Deal or those books because they were pretty much self-congratulation. But, you know, the guy, he cared about America in a way because, you know, a lot of people have money in the stock market. And indeed, the market came back, and by the end of 87, you had a gain. I mean, it came back. It was a great buying opportunity. But he recognized it and said it when nobody else would. So that was where he made his first impression on me.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, when I was researching his family, you know, even just from a heart and relational standpoint, you know, Bobby and I being in ministry for so long, I can discern a lot about a person by their family, and especially anyone by their kids. And when I saw Donald Trump's family and all of his kids rallying around their dad and all the praises that they would heap on him, to me, that was huge, because I know of pastors whose kids would never say that about their own dad. And that spoke volumes to me about his heart for family and even just for those that he's come to help. I really do believe he wants to help people, like you've alluded to. And I believe God's put it there. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of ego, like you said. And this is, I'm still praying for him in this. I believe even now he may be at a crucible moment that we need to pray for him, because I believe he like everybody else, he's got to lay it down and surrender everything to the Lord. But I do believe that by his heart and by his actions and even by his own family, his motives have been good and his intentions, and God has blessed him. We've experienced that in the last couple of years.
Are you familiar with the story? And I can't remember where I saw it, but that he's evidently has a Bible from his some aunt of his that might have lived in Scotland and was a missionary, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that he was, mm-hmm. was kind of like a Samuel, if you will, a child that had an anointing on him. Do you know that story?
Yeah, I've heard. I don't know all the details. I think it's like a great aunt or something like that that was a part of the revival that happened in Wales.
Exactly.
And
that's what it was.
His family was a part of that. Yeah. So a lot of people are claiming, you know, that he comes from a line of revivalists. And I wouldn't doubt, I mean, the research that's been done to his great aunts and whatever, that they probably prayed for him.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
It is. All right. We've been talking about church and government. There's another church, and that's the church of the left, if you will. And when you discuss politics or really almost everything in society with members of the left, they discuss it with almost a religious fervor, if you will. There's definite, there's a God in that religion. And there are definite do's and don'ts. There's religious laws for leftism, if you will. And it's a religion. It's not just politics. Mm-hmm. It's a religion where politics is the church, if you will, and that they are the whole worldview is tilted that way. Now, give me your observations on that.
Well, it's interesting because even earlier this year, last year now, when we were dealing with COVID, the more that time went on and the more rules that came out, I mean, nitpicky little rules, I mean, right away, it was like, that's a religious spirit. And,
really?
And I've written about it.
How did you come up with that?
Well, I have a personal testimony being set free from a religious spirit. My very first book actually was about deliverance from a religious spirit. So I recognize it very quickly. And because the religious spirit is a taskmaster, it's like you never do enough. It's all rules of this and that, and you have to do it this way. And it's always changing because it's seeking to control the whole narrative, wanting to control those under its grip.
My wife,
and that's what I saw.
My wife is sitting here nodding. What?
Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing here, you pointed it out. Whether it's the leftists or, it's a counterfeit religion, it's the religious spirit. I mean, the Pharisees are back and they're in politics and they are trying to call the shots and keep us under their thumb. And that's not what God wants for us at all. And we've got to revisit that and get set free ourselves. I mean, I even have they go on my website. I've got some materials and resources to help people actually get free from that and start recognizing it. So we don't just bow to it because it's counterfeit. It's not the freedom that God wants for us, you know, living by the spirit, not that we don't have boundaries for our safety, but yeah, the rules are going to kill us.
Well, and that's been one of my great struggles with religion, as the reason I was nodding with religion as a rule and with religion conflicting with politics, is because of all the rules. Because I think God wants us to have our focus on Him and not on all the rules. Now, you've got to have some structure to your faith, but the rules get in the way.
Yeah. I mean, the whole purpose, it's just like the law. The law wasn't the end. You know, Jesus came not to even abolish, to fulfill the law. It's by the Spirit. But we haven't given up the Ten Commandments. They're still there, but there's now freedom in the Spirit. It changes our heart. We want to do what God wants. We want to do the right thing. And that's, you know, even in this whole last year, that's what was being literally suffocated out of everybody, is you don't even have the will anymore. We have to decide for you. I mean, there's such demonic source to all the, you know, the propaganda and what's been forced upon the American people. And that's why we as believers who have the Spirit of God in us, we have authority to overcome that and to say, no, that's coming from a wrong spirit, a wrong source, and to be able to cut through that and take our stand. That's huge.
Yeah. I think that the religious spirit contradicts directly with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's why so many churches are afraid, scared to death of the Holy Spirit being a part of what they do. That's why, you know, the church services are there. There's no time in there for the Spirit to do His thing, because they're governed by a religious spirit, as you just said. And we may be really onto something here. I mean, it may be kind of the governing spirit in this country, or at least one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And this is why the church, you know, pastors especially, have to get a hold of it. And I can say that I'm married to a pastor, and Bobby and I are very different. And we've even seen it, because this isn't always because a pastor doesn't love God or doesn't want the Holy Spirit. Because bottom line, all of us, we have to make that choice. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, you have to yield up all control. And so you have to let Him do what He wants. And sometimes it's crazy. It's out of our hands. And for a pastor, it's very, you know, disconcerting. Bobby had to come to the point in our church, and he stood up one Sunday and he said, I care more about what God wants in this church than what you want. And I'm okay with even being uncomfortable. If the Lord wants to, if the Holy Spirit wants to do something, he has permission. That was huge. And, you know, there is a risk, but that's the joy of the journey, you know, that we can trust the Lord in that.
Well, most human beings, you know, I'm in the investment business. It's a risk business there, you know, but when the market's going up, nobody thinks it's risky, but there is risk in owning any investment asset. And yet, most people are trying to get themselves into a place of no risk or little risk. Oh, can I retire on this? You know what? I just tell people, don't quit your day job, or at least keep finding something to do, because a lot of things can change. And churches can be even worse that way. It's like the way that we do things is sacrosanct. It cannot be changed, cannot be altered. We've been doing this since the 1500s. You know, I'm an Anglican now, and you know, they go back to Henry VIII, but, and there's a lot of beauty in that form of worship and the, you know, the different prayers and things like that. But there has to be, as you've said, a place for the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit has to be a part of our worship and our life in the church. And that third person of the Trinity has been neglected and, you know, and just not even paid attention to.
Yeah. You know, I'll have to tell you that this is a couple of months ago. Bobby was, we have a hot tub in the back, and he loves going there every night. And he came back inside one evening. He said, you know what the Lord just told me? He said, okay, so you have the word. Where's the power? And this is the word to the church. We can hold the word of God and have, you know, the letter of the law. But the question is, where's the power of God? How is the world going to know that we have been set apart, if not by the Spirit of the living God? Otherwise, it's just words. And then it becomes rules and laws. This is why, you said it, it takes risk. But when the Spirit is infused, everybody can tell. That's not possible by man. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. That's God.
Man can't do it. Sorry.
Right.
You got me excited.
Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit should get us excited.
Praise, you know, the Lord. Like, hallelujah.
Yep.
All right, well, Elizabeth's getting ready to put the hook to us here.
Why do you always put that on me? It just is not fair. It's not fair.
Don't drop off, Wanda.
Yeah, Tom's not done. He wants to get a little more information. Wanda, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you will join us again as we journey through this next bit of time. And as I mentioned, awesome. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, please go to our website, DupreeFinancial.com, and to our blog and radio tab. We'll be posting this episode, and you'll be able to find other episodes of The Tom Dupree Show, as well as Wanda's books. You've been listening to The Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group. We'll be back for the second half of the hour with our financial guys. Stay tuned.
Thugs. Chaos.
Violence.
Anarchy. Enough's enough.
The destiny of our nation.
Keep it here.
Tell the truth.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.